Now, the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, has been the topic of conversation and debate since former President Obama signed it into law in 2010. In 2013, TV host Jimmy Kimmel did a gag experiment of on-the-street interviews to illustrate how people's opinion of the legislation could have less to do with its contents than the name.
We're talking about health care today, and which plan do you support, Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act?
The Affordable Care Act.
And what is it about Obamacare that you do not like?
I just think that there's a lot of holes in it, and it needs to be revamped. I think it's
and you think
it hasn't
the affordable,
been thought out.
You think the Affordable Care Act has a better plan than Obamacare?
Better, but I'm not happy with that either.
What do you agree with?
The clip goes on to show several people with similar responses, not aware that the two plans being mentioned are in fact the same thing. The concept that voters may be persuaded to change their minds on issues based on the politicians who support them has some new data to support it. Milwaukee native John Turris is a professor of political science at LaGrange College in Georgia. He looked at some of this new data in a recent article he wrote for The Conversation titled "Americans on the Right and Left Change Their Minds After Hearing Where Trump Stands." John, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you have me on here. And it's as someone who's born in Wisconsin, happy to be in touch there.
Yes, but not in the weather, maybe. It's a bit chilly.
I've heard it's even colder up there than down here.
Now, before we get into these newer polls, I understand you've used this Jimmy Kimmel bit in your classroom before. What makes this kind of a teachable example?
I think it shows for the students, you know, something that's very relatable for someone taking their first political science course, how somebody's name can probably change support for or against it. There's one I didn't mention because I was struggling to find the source, but I can remember the private Social Security debate, like whether or not you should privatize some of it. And they had young voters were actually interested in privatizing Social Security. They liked the concept. But when they heard it was George W. Bush's idea, support for it plummeted because he was pretty unpopular at the time.
That takes us to this new information that you wrote about polls on President Trump and different issues and how people's opinions of those issues changed. What kind of data do we have out there?
Okay. You'll remember about, it seems like almost an eternity ago, but it was just a short time ago, there was a U.S. drone strike that killed the leader or one of the key people in the Iranian Revolutionary Guards. So Yahoo News YouGov asked a poll saying, should America take additional military action? This is after we had killed him and there was a retaliation from Iran that struck a U.S. base in Iraq. So 50% said no, including 70% of Democrats. Only 37% of Republicans agreed that that there should be airstrikes. Or excuse me, 37% of Republicans said that we should restrain ourselves from attacking.
Right.
Now, when they found it was Donald Trump's idea, the support among Republicans jumped from 37% to over 80%. And support among Democrats for restraint dropped from 70% down to 58%.
So there was a change on both sides after either side heard what President Trump's policy was. Republicans were more likely to support that idea. Democrats were more likely to oppose it. Is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah. So this means something. It seems like what?
Oh, my gosh. It's well, I mean, it shows that the you know, just when you start trying to decide how do voters decide. In the past, we might think when partisan affiliations were strong that being a Republican or being a Democrat meant something. Now it seems like people are orienting themselves whether Trump supports something or not.
Right. And can you think of past political personalities who may have had that impact? I mean, with that Obamacare example, some people who liked the president might have liked that phrase, Obamacare being attached to the Affordable Care Act. People opposed him. Do you think President Trump is unique in this way, though?
Let's put it this way. In the case of Obamacare versus Affordable Care Act, when I looked at the numbers, there would probably be about a 10 to 15 point swing either in favor from Affordable Care Act to Obamacare among supporters of Obama and maybe 10 to 15 points opposed when they heard that the Affordable Care Act was the same as Obamacare. But this, I mean, a 50-point swing is unprecedented. I've never seen anything like this.
Talking to John Turris, professor of political science at LaGrange College, looking at how President Trump's support for an issue can change attitudes among voters on either side. People who like him like the issue more. People who don't like him like it less. Do we have much more data on this? Is this something that people try to research a lot?
Believe it or not, I found this quite by accident, because the lead story was in the same poll. They were trying to compare Obama's policy on Iran to Trump's policy on Iran. And the big headline said Obama's policy is more popular among voters than Trump's policy. And I started scrolling down and I found this buried near the bottom. And I thought, oh, my gosh, this is a much bigger story. It shows, you know, kind of people breaking away from partisan labels and even ideology. You know, if somebody's basically saying among a Republican, oh, I think we should hit him back. Oh, wait, President Trump's against it. OK, we should not hit them back. And I will say this, and I'm kind of jumping on in, but a lot of times people will, when they respond to my columns, they will take a stand and sometimes not realize, I'll inform them when it's Trump's position, they change their own minds. So I see this on an individual basis, not just in polls.
Interesting. So let's talk about a little bit of our political history. As you mentioned, maybe that partisan affiliation might shape our attitudes more in the past. What did that look like? How did we sort ourselves out politically based on party?
It's interesting that you meant or that you brought up the idea of sorting ourselves based on party, because that used to be one of the strongest predictors of whether someone was going to vote and what candidates they were going to vote for. And now it seems like they're shifting from support for party to support of the individual president, whatever stand they take.
So what is it about President Trump that in particular has this this kind of radical break with what we've seen in the past?
I would say his polarizing nature. I mean, it seems like he engenders not only super strong loyalty, like the kind we haven't seen in a long time, you know, devotion to this leader, versus also kind of strong anger opposing him, which is probably explaining why Democrats backed off the policy of restraint, just because they didn't want to be affiliated with Trump.
Now, in your piece, you also reference a study from the Royal Society in March of 2017. They published it that looked into how people actually process true and false information and whether they determine it to be credible or not based on who it's attributed to. What do we learn from that?
Okay. In that study, this is the experiment where they said, okay, here are a series of phrases that came out. And Republicans and Democrats didn't differ very much, but when they heard that Trump was supportive of a statement like vaccines cause autism or something like that, then Democrats were far likely to be against it and Republicans were far more likely to support it.
Interesting. And these weren't necessarily things that President Trump was in real life for or against. Do I have that right?
That is the case. I haven't seen him make some of the statements that were on there, but they were just testing people just to see how strong their ties to Trump were or not.
Well, now we've got an election year here with this information in hand. I mean, this what does this tell you about what you're watching for in this political campaign?
I did see something in an article today which said Democrats need to get President Trump out of their head. And I think one of the things that hurt them in 2016, it would hurt them in 2020, is if you make the election all about Trump, if you make it a referendum about Trump. I think one of the weaknesses the Democrats had last time, and certainly, I mean, your state is much covered down here, even in Georgia, just how close it was in Wisconsin. You need to almost not ignore, but just kind of sideline the issue, say, here's your opposition, but focus more on what you're going to do. I think a clear plan saying this is what we're going to have. I don't think FDR does as well against Herbert Hoover. I mean, he still probably wins. But FDR does better by having a plan of action rather than my entire policy is going to be I'm not Herbert Hoover.
But I wonder, whatever the Democratic message is, if there's a lot of people already out there saying, hey, I'm with Trump no matter what, and I'll follow him from issue to issue. Does that mean we're unpersuadable on either side of the political spectrum?
Oh, I think his numbers are pretty low for a president seeking reelection. They may rise over time, but I mean, they've been consistently mired in the upper 30s to low 40s. So this is a pretty winnable election. I just don't think it's going to generate a lot of turnout if all it becomes is a shouting match about Trump. Democrats would do well to have a simple, straightforward plan saying this is what we're going to do when we take over, because otherwise, what's it, better the devil you know rather than the devil you don't know. That's how some voters might react and either stay home or even vote for a third party or something else.
We're talking to political science professor John Turris from LaGrange College about studies that show that people change their political views, their views on a particular policy or issue, based on whether President Trump supports that issue or not. And it happens for critics of President Trump. They're less likely to support that issue. His supporters become more likely if they find out that he supported it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Does this describe you? Have you changed your mind about an issue after hearing that Trump supports it or doesn't support it? Has this been the case for you with other presidents or politicians? If you think this is not you, but you see it happening around you, friends, family, coworkers, the people on social media, however you know them, join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about voters from the right and left switching their sides on issues, their attitudes on issues, after they hear where President Trump stands. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of these findings? Do you think President Trump is unique in this way, or do you see past politicians who you think people line themselves up for or against and aligned their attitudes on issues to follow their attitude toward that particular individual? What does this make you think of the future of political parties and their power versus individuals who may or may not go along with the party's traditional values? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Tom is with us in Milwaukee. Tom, hi.
Hi. I'd like to ask your guest, using the example of the person on the street interviews with Obamacare versus the Affordable Care Act, is it a question of political affiliation, or is it really a question of how well educated these people are on the issues?
Tom, thanks for the call. John, I don't know if we have data on this, but your thoughts on that?
That is a good question, I think, and it may well be that after budget cutbacks, after going to No Child Left Behind Act and standardized tests, that people really don't know as much about policy. I was going to give an example earlier. I wrote a column about Alan Dershowitz and his position, and a person emailed me and said, "Oh, that is the stupidest argument ever made. I'm gonna quit subscribing to this newspaper. I can't believe he gave such an argument." And he wrote out the argument, and I said, "Well, that's the quote I gave to Alan Dershowitz." And this guy, who's a traditional supporter of Trump, said, "Oh," and then shortly after he started defending Dershowitz's argument, the same one he said was stupid. So there is a little bit of people going nose blind when it comes to these issues.
Tom, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. John, I think sometimes in the media world, and I think maybe in the political science world, there's the model of the voter carefully considering the issues and where they stand on the issues and then coming up with this rational decision on who to vote for. But it seems like there's always been a lot more going on than that. Just our gut, our assessment of a candidate's personality. We're never just, no matter how educated we are, rational voters, are we?
As a political scientist, I would hope that everybody's a rational voter, that they make their decisions educated, et cetera. But you are correct that a lot of times people do make their emotions based on like how the person looks. We've heard stories about how tall they are. An interesting test we're going to get came out today when Trump talked about putting together his proposed budget, and people have seen his $4.8 trillion budget, and it's going to have cuts in Medicare and Social Security, and that's something he left untouched, which helped him in 2016 in the GOP primary. We're about to see how people feel about Medicare and Social Security.
Let's go back to our callers. Jim is with us in Appleton. Jim, hello.
Hello. As a voter, I'm just amazed that the people even vote for Republicans and Democrats. And the way both parties have been behaving of late is just pathetic. And one that really got me is when the Democrats started saying they're for free trade. If you go back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, it was the Democrats were the ones that hollered for fair trade, and Republicans are hollering for free trade. And maybe you guys aren't old enough to remember that, but I do.
Jim, thanks for the call. And yeah, there have been those kind of changes over the years. Jim frustrated with both parties, though, John, and he's saying they're not necessarily consistent.
I think there's a strong argument you made about free trade as being an issue that whipped all around. And yes, consistently you had Democrats oppose free trade, being pro-union. And I think that changed because Bill Clinton saw an opportunity that he could get some new Democrat votes or new Democratic Party votes by appealing more to business and triangulating the policy. And so therefore he was able to get a lot of free trade policies in. But I think I agree at the cost of unions being left behind. That's why there's so much support for Bernie Sanders within the party.
Thanks for the call at 800-642-1234. Tom joins us now in Superior. Tom, hello.
Hi. Yeah, this has always been a concern for me. It went back to when I seen the way the media was framing the Obamacare versus the ACA and how people were falling victim to their biases on that. I'm just wondering what kind of is the main driving force? Is it just the acceleration of hyper-partisan media or what? But I noticed a strange change when Trump entered office. Like, it's not just political parties. It's groups like religious groups as well. I noticed the evangelicals prior to Trump's election, they said that upwards of 80% of them said strong ethics and morality were important to them. Now I think that number's dropped to something like 20%. I was just kind of – I'm just at a loss for what's creating the deeper and deeper divide as years go on.
Tom, thanks for the call. John, any thoughts?
I don't think that the media is being partisan. I mean, we certainly have networks that have their partisan biases or so that lean one way or the other. But I think that some of this comes down to simplification for the media. And you can take shots at me because even though I'm a professor, I'm also a member of the media. And this isn't done, by the way, by public radio, which is why I listen to a lot of public radio. I'm not just on the show, but I'm also a listener. If you go to a lot of current media today, there seems to be this focus on, let's focus on the individual and the person and the personality. So we make everything about Trump, everything about Obama, everything about Bush, and not as much about here are the issue positions.
Thanks for the call, Tom. We're talking to John Turris from LaGrange College in Georgia. Looking at a piece he wrote titled Americans on the Right and Left Change Their Minds After Hearing Where Trump Stands. Back to your calls. Troy joins us now in Appleton. Troy, hi.
Hi. I believe you guys hit the nail on the head with the idea that people are extremely uninformed or undereducated when it comes to politics and policies and the understandings. Even when they implemented quote, Obamacare, to me, it was I had a coworker that didn't even understand that his daughter was able to still receive his insurance till 26. And she was racking up bills like crazy. And just the idea of, you know, how much can the president actually influence the finances, the financial, he says policies, but, you know, the Federal Reserve and many other things actually, you know, control the economy itself. I feel that people are extremely...
Gotcha, Troy. I'm going to jump in. John, what do you think? Troy, referring to something that an earlier caller brought up, we don't know enough about the policies out there maybe to make informed decisions about them.
Yeah, Troy, I think that's a good idea. And all the callers, by the way, I really appreciate your calls. This is like a challenging classroom, if you think about it, where we're all trying to learn from this. I'm testing out my students tomorrow with a project. I don't know if you refer to or you're aware of a group called I Side With, but I'm going to have my students write down, okay, which candidate do they support? And then they're going to take this I Side With quiz where it doesn't focus on the people. It focuses on the issue.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Where do you stand on gun rights? Where do you stand on the economy? Where do you stand on foreign policy? Where do you stand on the environment? And then it gives you a match, like which candidates best match with you. So I call it match.com study. I did this before every 4 years with classes, and I usually find that students think they support one candidate, and then when they run one of these I Side With, they find another candidate actually is much more closely matched to them. And believe it or not, the same thing happened with me. I thought there was a candidate that I was the most in sync with, and there was someone else who took over that spot.
Time for one more quick call. James is with us in Crandon. James, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say I think that Trump's going to have a harder sale now with the cuts into Medicare or Social Security and other benefits. I'm a big Trump supporter, but this could be a hard sell.
James, thanks for that call. So a self-identified Trump supporter there, John, saying there is at least there are at least a couple policy lines that he would not follow the president over.
The big difference, I think, for Trump in winning 2016, somebody would say, oh, it's his Twitter. Oh, it's his insulting nicknames. Oh, it's his brash style. It's the fact that he was on TV and a reality show personality. I think one thing separated him from a lot of others is he really wanted to preserve, or at least publicly talked about preserving, Medicare and Social Security. And his opponents were all thinking about how to cut it. Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush, Ted Cruz, traditional conservatives. By cutting into that, Trump is gambling that, well, I own the Republican Party, so I won't get opposition there. And Democrats don't like me either. But I think that will turn off not only independents, but also Republicans.
Thanks to John Turris for joining us today from LaGrange College in Georgia. His piece in The Conversation was titled, Americans on the Right and Left Change Their Minds After Hearing Where Trump Stands.